work session on April 19th, 2022. It's 4:32 p.m. Thank you all for joining us today. We have called a special work session to discuss two large, significant items, one being the Black Eyed Susan, and the second being the Ode Fire Hall. First order of business is discussion concerning the concerning the Black Eyed Susan. We're going to start with the Black Eyed Susan. At this point, what we know is that, and we'll kind of just rehash kind of where things are. I see some new faces in the audience. I want to make sure everyone knows where we are in terms of the Black Eyed Susan. The Black Eyed Susan went to Kelowna's shipyard in Norfolk, Virginia. Probably how long ago?
February 3rd.
Snow Hill had purchased the boat in the fourth year of a five-year maintenance or
haul out,
thank you, required by the Coast Guard. So we purchased it last year. That means this year's the fifth year. And so that is why we had to send it to be inspected by the Coast Guard. During the inspection, there were significant issues that were identified with the Black Eyed Susan, significant in the cost of over $600,000. So, deep breath, the town of Snow Hill, one, is not going to focus on putting our priorities and fixing the boat in terms of the $600,000. Now, we do understand the benefits of having the Black Eyed Susan. We understand the benefits for tourism. We understand the complementary benefits to our downtown Snow Hill when folks are taking cruises on the Black Eyed Susan and then coming and eating at our restaurants and shopping at our boutiques. And so we were very excited about that potential, and we continue to be. So that leaves us with a hard question, right? One, $600,000, as I already mentioned, is not something that we're willing to invest. And so needing to decide what steps are next. So that leaves two options. One, fix the vessel to a point in which it at least can be used, maybe as a floating restaurant or some type of floating attraction. The $600,000 would make it a working vessel that could go up and down the river. And so, one, we can make it a floating attraction. Two, is to sell the boat, right? Those are really our only two options at this point. We have talked to Kelowna's to get the boat back here, or to get it repaired to a point in which we could have it as an attraction, we could potentially have a floating restaurant, have some kind of floating venue. The cost would be a little over $300,000, so about half the cost of the original quote. So I think it was $312,000 to be exact. That would potentially buy us some time in order to find other sources of funding that could fix the boat completely, right? So, I mean, just because we are able to fix it to a floating venue doesn't mean that we can't then look for other sources of income or other sources of revenue, other grants that then we could eventually fix the boat to where it would be something that we could go up and down the river again. Now, we've looked at a couple of different ideas in terms of funding that might be available. Rick, could you go over or talk a little bit about some of those ideas?
Sure. We've identified a variety of potential funding sources, both for the federal, state, and also regional authorities. Both of our U.S. senators, Eastern Shore reps, have met with us. There is an earmark process where the senators can have money set aside for worthy projects in their states. I contacted them hoping and thinking maybe they had a ready access to cash that could be used in sort of an emergency or a quick decision type of operation. They assured me they don't have that, despite what people think about Congress. They can't just reach into a pocket and pull out hundreds of thousands of dollars, or at least that's what we were told. However, we can apply through their earmark process for funds just for this project, and they both agreed that this was a worthy project and would probably score well, but that takes time. It takes time to fill out the application and then to be reviewed and approved and all of that. I had a similar conversation with Greg Padgett of the Tri-County Council of the Lower Eastern Shore. He has access to funds for economic development that seemed to be a good match for the Black Eyed Susan and what we were trying to accomplish here. Again, there was the process of applications and scoring and ranking and then final approvals. We also have reached out to the state government. We've talked to the Eastern Shore representative for the Department of Commerce. We're talking to others who have access to various members of the governor's staff, hoping that we might even be able to get an audience with the governor and just kind of lead our case. And through it all, I've been very upfront with everyone that we've talked to in saying that if you look at this strictly from a business point of view, the bottom line, it probably doesn't make sense. As the mayor said, $600,000 to spend in repairs, if you're looking at it in strictly dollars and cents, doesn't make sense. However, if we were able to get the outside funding to have the Black Eyed Susan fully functional, fully performing to its greatest potential, it could be a draw. Well, it would be. We know from the brief time it was in operation last year that people love that paddle wheel. They would come to Snow Hill, they would take the cruises, they would shop our stores. It would be a venue for drawing people in who would be, whether they're tourists or locals. We've got a connection with Ocean City, where the mayor of Ocean City has promoted Snow Hill and the Black Eyed Susan for their visitors. We think we could keep them busy. The Washington seemed to be very pleased with the response they had for the limited time that they've had. So while it may not be the best business decision looking at it strictly in the box of the Black Eyed Susan, what it represents in the way of the general economic development atmosphere, the draw to for tourism, the putting Snow Hill on the map in somebody or a community with a unique attraction, that does generate enthusiasm and interest and brings people in who are willing to spend money, it could very well be a very positive thing. So though that's kind of the line that we've been using, and we've been very well received, but then we run into the bureaucracy of yes, but, and then we talk about the process. And so following up on the mayor's, it's not even a proposal, but what she had described was if we could get the boat back in the water, brought back to Snow Hill and dock, and then make use of it as we can in that condition, while we go through these traditional funding application sources to try to raise the money needed to make it fully functional, then that keeps it alive. Otherwise, it doesn't seem like there's much left to do than throw for sale sign on.
Right, and so then the second option is the for sale sign. And we do not know, I know, Randy, that you had reached out to Colonus to potentially see what that would look like if we decided that we were not going to fix it at all, if what that would look like if they were to sell it, or did they have some inroads on how we might sell it if that was the option we decided to go with.
I talked to Jason just before I came here, and he told me he'd get back with me tomorrow afternoon. He was going to his boss. They have that happen from time to time. They had the same thing happen 2 weeks ago, and I asked him, would they just sell the boat for the town? We pay them the money we owe them, the town gets the rest of the money, or how do they, you know, how would they do it? You know, just say, for instance, the town will have the money to do the work. And he said he would let me know tomorrow afternoon, but definitely he can call me then.
So that means that we would have to, A, so even if we sold, even if we decided to go with option two to sell the boat, one, we still owe them money, right? Because they've done the inspection, they've done some preliminary work, it's been dry docked, right? So we're getting charged every single day it's sitting there. So we would owe them money for the work that's been done and the dry dock. We would also have the loan that was taken out to purchase the boat. So whether we go with plan A or plan B, we're gonna end up taking a loss on the boat. Now, what that loss looks like, we don't know at this point. But either of those decisions mean that we are taking a loss on the boat at this point. Now, there could be some funding in the future that could help fix the boat so it's a fully functioning seaworthy vessel. But that doesn't take away from what we're going to have to pay out at this point. All right. Anything else that you want to kind of update us on, and then council questions?
As I was coming in the door, I'm still texting back and forth with another contact who has friends in the governor's office that thinks that they can still get us a hearing. So we haven't quit. We'll keep trying up until the last minute to see what we can find.
Council, what questions do you all have? What comments?
I have more of a concern than anything. The fact that when we went to do this and we received the marine survey, it says one thing, and now there's something significantly more, and I just don't know where the disconnect came from. I mean, I understand it was pulled out of the water, but you should still be able to see that $300,000 price tag for the paddle wheel that needed to be repaired. I'm just confused on that whole. I mean, we never would have done this. I'm just confused by the whole thing.
Well, as I read the backup and the marine report, it is in there. A lot of it is in there. It may not have given a cost as significant as what we're facing now, but there were definitely things in there before. There are pictures in there that line up with some of the repairs that they're suggesting now. So I think perhaps there wasn't a good understanding of exactly what the Marine Survey was saying or how it was caveating it. But any of these venues that you're talking about pursuing, either federally or for the state or regionally, the timeline for those, we're not talking days, we're talking probably months, especially since now most of the municipalities and the state, and to some extent the federal government, are all in their annual budget throws. So that also throws a wrench in the works for the time being. So we could be talking a couple months, 6 months, or more. In the meantime, we either have to do what's necessary to get it back here, although $300,000 seems a little excessive since it was sitting here as is before. But we still are running, what, $350 a day? So $2,450 a week.
Is it right now? It's $275 a day, and
okay.
Right now the town owes $27,900 just for docking.
Just for docking?
Just for docking since February 3rd when it was pulled out. That day, that's what the town owes.
So, okay, so that's...
This here's the update.
And even to tow it back...
It's $12,000.
So that's... So roughly $40,000 right there.
Well,
yeah.
But that's the thing, is we're not going to be able to get...
That the costs are adding up as we talk about it.
Right, the cost would be...
$300,000.
Right.
$300,000 now, $312,000, that includes your docking and everything.
Okay.
Other than bringing it back here.
Right, so we're talking...
So we're talking about
350, probably closer to 3:30, 3:35.
To bring it back.
Right, to bring it back, because they would fix it and then the additional to have a tow. Now, the tow is 12,000 going there, but they towed it at the end of when they got closer to Norfolk, right? I mean, we would have to have it towed all the way back.
They towed it all the way into Colonial Shipyard and docked it.
Right, but when they were further down there, they would have to bring it all the way to Snow Hill.
It'll be the same thing to get it back. Even though they're coming
from the mouth of the Pocomoke all the way down.
It'll be the same thing to get it back here. He's not going to charge any more to bring it here than he did take it from the mouth of the Pocomoke.
The mouth, okay. All right, okay. Okay, good. So that, okay, so it puts it at about 3:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
And to get it as a floating Western lock, you have to do for that.
Well, it would not be a floating restaurant. So the it is not a fully working kitchen. We're probably not suggesting it be a restaurant per se, because to outfit it as a full-fledged kitchen would be another significant cost. We could have it as some, you know, like the Washingtons would do, you know, cook in their kitchen and then bring their food on, but they were never cooking on the boat.
Right.
So it could be a venue in which you would have catered meals or something like that.
Have the Washingtons expressed interest in continuing with the contract?
We don't know that. So we don't know if the Washingtons would continue with the contract. This obviously would significantly alter that contract, given that it wouldn't be a seaworthy vessel. And so we are also looking at other options if the Washingtons decided not to to continue.
Because under the current contract, they have to make payments starting May 1st?
Under the current contract, they would start paying on the lease. Their lease agreement would be on May. Yes.
Roughly May 1st, yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, part of it is whether council believes that the long-term benefits of having the boat here in order to spur economic development, even as some type of floating venue, would be a benefit to the town. We're talking at a cost about $330. If we don't do that, we're already on the hook for $26,000 at least, and then the loan amount, So we're looking at about similar costs, actually, either way we go. Selling it would offset some of that, but we're not sure at this point. Do you think they'll be able to give us any type of idea on how much we might be able to even sell it?
I'll ask you again tomorrow. I already asked that question before. I was given a price, but I will ask you tomorrow.
Okay. Right. Other comments, other questions, other things, other areas you think that we need to explore? So it doesn't seem like at this point we're ready to make a decision without the information about selling the boat, not the process, and then the potential for the revenue generated from it. So we won't be able to make a decision today, unfortunately, because as already been mentioned, every day it's costing us more money until we make a decision. And I know this is a hard decision for a town to make because, one, there was a, you know, significantly widespread support for purchasing the boat. But what we also know is that it's our boat. You know, it's our Snow Hill Black-Eyed Susan now. And so we have to decide how we want to proceed with it and whether or not we think that there could be continued potential for economic development, even as some type of floating venue, with the hope that that we would be able to secure funding to bring it back up to a seaworthy vessel. So,
well, where would we get the $330,000?
Good question. If you all remember, Council, if you remember, we had already had slated at least $200,000 from the American Rescue Plan Act money. So we had already slated for that, thinking that there potentially were going to be additional repairs to the boat. There also was money slated in FY22, so the current fiscal year, a little over $100,000 for the Black-Eyed Susan out of the capital improvement budget that has not been completely spent. And so at that point, we're almost near the $300,000to fix it if we wanted to fix it. We could move and contribute, we could commit to giving some additional ARPA funding to make up that gap, if that was the decision of council. That's how we pay for it. So.
What is the current value of the boat?
Good question.
Because we paid, $20-something?
It's $325,000.
Okay, so now we're pumping another $330,000 into it. Is the boat even worth that? It was built in 1988, and as we now know, it has significant problems. I would love to have it here as a draw. I think it did draw people in. It looks beautiful sitting on the river. We've just upgraded the riverfront to accommodate it. But at some point, enough is enough. And I think we're rapidly approaching that point. $600,000 would have made it a $1 million boat. It's definitely not worth that. I'm not even sure it's going to be worth roughly $750. And as you mentioned at a previous meeting, the town never really expected it to earn money or break even. We thought its benefit was in tourist attraction and in getting us on the map, as it were, and it's certainly done that for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the issue is some of this could be expected. Like, we knew we had to pull it out. We knew we were going to have to pay to have the hull painted. That has to happen every 5 years. We already knew. So some of those expenses, we had already budgeted at least $50,000.
$49,000.
Right. So we had already budgeted $50,000 of this. That's to be expected every 5 years, regardless. So some of it is maintenance.
Anticipated
costs that we knew that we were going to have to pay anyway. Obviously, not $600,000, not $300,000. But some of it was anticipated, and we had budgeted for it and actually had already secured one grant to offset the cost of that. I think without knowing the current value of the boat, and that's something that hopefully you can talk to Colonus about. I'm not sure about how you get an appraisal of a boat. And then also seeing about the process, if we were to move to selling the boat, what that process would be, and then the bottom line on what we would own Colonus at that point.
Okay. Do you want to know the value of the boat after it's fixed as a floating restaurant or an attraction vessel, or do you want to know what it's worth now?
Both.
You want both.
I think you would need to know both to make an informed decision.
Right, and the both would be selling it right now, and then the other is just as a floating venue.
Mm-hmm. After the 300,000 is done.
After the 300,000,
okay.
Right.
You might as well get an estimate for the value as a fully functioning paddle boat. I mean, that's the end goal.
Right. Yeah, so see if they can do that. I don't know if that's something that we'd have to bring in an appraiser on, or...
I know someone.
We might have an appraiser out there in the audience.
Well, we have real estate people. Are there maritime appraisers?
Yeah. So let's see what they have to say, and then we'll see about...
They got appraisers there in that area.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Any other questions that you all would like to... have answered before we can finally make a decision on this?
I thank everyone for all your hard work.
Mm-hmm. And we will be able to meet this again.
So we might be able, depending on how we move, we will try to meet before May 3rd meeting, or the May 3rd meeting actually is not happening because that's election.
And next week isn't happening because you're going to be out of the country.
Right, that's why we're meeting today. And so May 3rd is election.
Election day. So,
it's actually May 10th.
May 10th.
Right.
May 10th is what we're looking at now.
Yeah. But there might be a way to also have another special work session as soon as we get the numbers that we need to make a final decision on this. All right. Thank you all. All right, the next is the Oak Fire Hall, and so I want to thank you all. Many of you all were at the meeting last week where we started discussing the potential of selling the Oak Fire Hall, and it was a great turnout as we were potentially exploring that as a option. So a couple of things we wanted to come back and discuss and kind of bring up. And some of it was prompted by questions council has, some of it was prompted by questions that the public had in regards to the potential sale of the Oak Fire Hall. So a couple of the questions, one of them centered on one of the big areas that folks were confused or questioning about was about the potential that this would be an area for storage. And according to how it's zoned, this could not be purchased as the sole for the sole purpose of storage. So, Larissa.
Being in the B1 commercial district, warehousing and storage are both non-permitted uses in this zoned area. So if Burley or anybody else purchased this space, it would have to have some kind of retail component to the business. That doesn't mean that they wouldn't be able to use some of it for storage or warehousing or production, but there would have to be a retail component.
So just to clear up, I mean, the purpose and what we've heard from Burley multiple times is that it would be some type of maybe production back here, and then some kind of...
So what they have proposed so far is to have production in the back with a kind of a glass wall in between, so you would be able to see the production area. The front part would be their retail, it would be their tap room with, you know, some kind of merchandise area where you'd be able to come in and stamp, you know. It would be a bar, essentially. It would be their tasting room. They would not, I know that this has also been a point of question, they would not be serving food. So what they would do and what they do at their location in Berlin is they allow people to bring food from other venues into their space. So it would be a way to support the existing restaurants as opposed to being competition. The upstairs, they would turn into an event space. So there, both those usages as a tap room and event space do comply with our zoning regulations. And because both of those comply which a microbrewery is also permitted, the production and then storage in support of their production would also be allowed.
There were also questions about whether the building would be have to be ADA compliant. That's actually not something that mayor and town council needs to address, because that would be something that whoever purchased the building would then need to be able to fix in order to have an establishment. And so if that meant, you know, for instance, I guess there's been, you know, a lot of questions about the upstairs and whether, you know, we'd have to have an elevator and things like that. That would be up to whoever purchased the building on whether they would their usage of that. And so I've talked to Marty, and so they're Marty, our code enforcer, and he's talked about depending on the usage, depending on the capacity upstairs, would depend on whether it would need to be ADA compliant.
With the caveat that because it is a historic building, that they can apply, the business owner can, or property owner at that time, can apply for an exemption from ADA compliance, which most of the buildings in this area have been able to obtain because we are within the historic district.
Like who, for example?
There are certain property owners right now who do not have elevators.
I realize that, but do you know who's applied and gotten an exemption?
I know that Tang, Mr. Tran, he's going to be able to get his occupancy permit without having any kind of elevator.
Anytime soon? Because he hasn't been open for years now.
Well, that's a different...
I realize, but... also, you are correct, I believe, in the zoning about the warehousing and all, but is there any particular percentage noted in that regulation? Because the one thing that Matt has said definitely both times, he mentioned storage and the number of cans they were now required to have because of changes to the business model during COVID. So there's definitely going to be storage. The question is how much of the building. Yes, the zoning does allow that. I'm not particularly certain if there's any percentage that can or cannot be met. I mean, if he's going to have 75% storage and a small tap room here, that's one thing. If he's only going to have 25 and the rest of the building is going to be open, great. And while you are correct in the ADA rule, if they choose to use the upstairs and to and have to do the ADA or choose to do the ADA, that will affect the timeline that they're giving us as to when the building will be fully usable, correct?
So I've actually spoken with Matt recently, and we've discussed they may be looking for additional storage space as well as this firehouse, but there are no requirements according to our zoning as to what the percentages would be. That's not outlined. From what they have presented to us, the storage space that they would be looking at would be primarily in the production area. I mean, they certainly don't plan on moving any of these load-bearing walls.
Well, they're going to cut a hole in one.
What's that?
They're planning on cutting a hole in one.
So, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, we've had several meetings with them at this point, and they were actually looking for two spaces. And so when they initially came to town, Snow Hill, they were looking for storage space. They were looking at that white building on the way out of town.
The old shopping Humphreys warehouse.
Yes, exactly. And so even when they saw this as a potential business venture for them, they continue to pursue that for storage. Mm-hmm. So they have been looking at other...
Yeah, that's still on the market as of today. I checked this afternoon.
Right, and just like he said last week, it's not zoned where they could do that.
No, it's zoned for agriculture.
Right, so they're still looking for other storage space. So he's been clear, like, this would not be a storage space. This would be where a business, a small, a tap room, a microbrewery would be. So he's been clear on that.
And if I can input, he also, they did have, from what they were saying before, they had storage space in their current location. They were using it for storage and reconfigured to make it an event space because there was no money to be made in storage space taking up. They needed to recreate the space in order to make money.
There were other questions about the facade, being able to partner with different events and things like that. And what we've explored is creating a memorandum of understanding between the town and Burley Oak if we were to sell the building. That would outline some of those pieces, and that would be generated by our council. That's one way to hopefully hold them to some of the promises around the facade and other pieces.
And has he come back with a firm legal opinion that that would be binding? If we did an MOU like that?
I can answer that. We've been playing phone tag with legal counsel.
Yes.
But the concept of a memorandum of understanding carries every bit of enforceability as a formal contract would. And what I was going to add was that MOU will be critical in not only setting the parameters of percentage of use for storage or for operations or for public access, that sort of thing, but we've also found in following up since our last meeting, there are water and sewer issues that,
yes.
That
as was brought up several times in the comments.
We're also going to have to provide for. I met with the town manager of Berlin yesterday, and he gave us some very strong advice about how to have the correct ordinance in place for the pretreatment of their waste. And so I've already been in contact with the town's engineer, Davis Bowen and Verdell, who fortunately also does the engineering for Berlin. He's familiar with this, what we're talking about, and he will also be providing input. Now, it seems like there's several irons in the fire, and that I can use to reply to something else you just said. The timetable, which was originally presented to have them in place and open by Memorial Day, no longer seems practical or achievable. So I think we can take our time to do our due diligence to work up the correct memorandum of understanding. Make sure it covers all the bases, the water and sewer, percentage of use, their contributions to the community, the future of the police department, all of those things that have come into play can be worked out without having to rush through it and take our time and make sure we do it right and come up with an agreement that both parties are satisfied with.
And not by the end of the election. The other question that you had brought up was in terms of the appraisal. And so we have Bill McCain and Braxton Dees here who completed the appraisal. And so if you all would come up, Councilman has some questions in terms of the appraisal, but you can provide us with an outline of how you all came up with your appraisal for the building. So thank you all so much for being our guests today to address some of the questions.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and I'm actually a county councilman in Wicomico, and this is our council day, so I just spent 4 hours doing what you're doing right now. I wish we had just a 3-person council instead of a 7-person council. It's hard to get things done with 7 people, but and we don't appraise votes, I'll clarify that too. But we did the evaluation on the building, and maybe I'll just start off by, before I even get into that, just introduce myself and Braxton. I'm Bill McCain. I'm the chairman and founder of W.R. McCain & Associates. We've been in business for 34 years here on Delmarva. We do a lot of work for municipalities all throughout Delmarva, for towns and counties, for acquisition and disposition purposes. Braxton is the president and CEO of the company. We're both certified general appraisers in multiple states, and we also both hold the MAI designation with the Appraisal Institute, which is the most advanced designation in the appraisal industry. So, you know, we've been doing this for a while, and we also often have to appraise older properties in municipalities, which is pretty common. So, in this particular case, we went through the typical process of doing an inspection of the property, doing the due diligence in terms of, you know, looking at, we focused it on the sales comparables, which is the primary methodology to determine value. And typically in that process, we need a common unit of measurement. In this particular case, as with most buildings, that common unit of measurement was the price per square foot. That's what we're sort of focused on most of the comparable properties. And we actually used 8 comparables in this analysis, which is, that's more than we normally use. Most appraisals, you'll normally see 4 to 6 comparables. We used 8 in this particular situation because usually there's a couple things we're always focused on. The main thing is, well, we always focus on the 3 most important things in value, which is, somebody can answer that for me if they want, but it's location. So we're always focused on, you know, trying to look at properties that are similar location, but how many old firehouses do we have in Snow Hill? You know, well, we're appraising the one. But we also want to look at types. So we started looking also at trying to find buildings that are older like this, but similar size. So we went to some of the neighboring towns to do that. And but we also looked at a firehouse sale as well. So we kind of sort of came at it from several different perspectives, and that's why we used more comparables than typical. And as we normally do, we adjust for any differences of the comparables, and then we get an adjusted range of value, which is what we did. That average range was, the average and median was basically at about a $33 to $35 per square foot range. We utilized $35 per square foot as the estimate of the value, which based on the square footage, that translates to $470,000. And we're welcome to answer any questions and that anyone has.
I noticed you picked 2 of the smallest buildings downtown Snow Hill, where you ignored the Blue Dog building, which had just sold and had already been recorded. That went for $525,000. It's a comparable building in size and age. You didn't use that at all. There's the old Napa Artiques building between the post office and the canoe company, which was listed a couple of weeks ago for $749,900. You didn't look at that at all. The 2 little office buildings that you looked at are nowhere near comparable in size or usage to this building, so I was unsure why you decided to pick those instead of other buildings that were closer in size and usage.
Sure, yeah, I'll make a quick stab at that. As I earlier said, from a location standpoint, and we recognize the fact that some of the local buildings were much smaller, but they were just utilized because they were downtown buildings.
Well, the one I'm talking about is at the other end of this street.
Let's let him finish answering your question,
right.
Please.
And we only look at sales, so listings, we look at listings a lot of times, but we don't put listings in the appraisal analysis because they're not sold in Sutton. Now, the Blue Dog transaction, I'm going to I don't know if we just didn't have that in the database or not. You know, because I do know that has sold.
That had already sold and been recorded. I checked the land records myself.
Yeah, but whether we had that at the time or not, I'm just not sure because we did not utilize it in the report.
So you just didn't know about it or didn't bother finding out what else was for sale in Sunville within the exact range?
No, I think we said we weren't aware of it.
And a wooden structure like the Washington Hotel in Princess Anne is comparable to this?
Well, that was actually...
I mean, usually in my experience, you try to get it as close to home as possible, but you've gone to another state and used smaller buildings that don't seem to make much sense.
Well, no, I would disagree with that. As I said, we looked at it from three different perspectives. We looked at the building in Princess Anne, for example, just because of its size. There's only so many buildings in the downtown locations that are large. That's why we also used the Chincoteague Fire Hall. I mean, it was a fire hall, almost identical in size. So, you know, that was also used. So, you know, we realized their properties have a lot of differences, and I'll get back to my point. That's why we used eight comparables as opposed to the typical four or six, because we try to look at from as many different perspectives as possible. So I'd say the perfect comp would be an old firehouse in Snow Hill. Well, we don't have four or five or six of those to look at, so we try to look at from all the other perspectives.
All right. Any other questions? Any other questions?
No, because I don't consider that a good answer.
All right. Well, thank you for your expertise, and thank you for coming here and answering our questions.
Certainly. Yeah,
all right. So what were some of the other questions that folks had from last week that we wanted to review? I think we covered most of them, but I wanted to see. Oh, yeah, you weren't.
One of my concerns, I have several, are the truck flow that's going to be coming through. And I know that they had mentioned they would use the side street for any deliveries or unloading or whatever. But I just don't know how a tractor trailer would get over there. And I just don't want it to get clogged up in the front of Green Street. So that's one of my really big concerns, is what type of trucks they're going to be using to bring their things over.
My street.
All right, and so what were your other concerns?
My other concerns, the water was one of them, but you're taking care of that. I'm drawing a blank.
Mm-hmm. Parking.
There's
another one you had, parking. This is just this lot here.
Mm-hmm. We have the lot over there.
If you think they're going to come that far, yes.
So he's mentioning parking, and so talking about this lot, and then also obviously the larger lot behind Oak 110, behind the post office. As mentioned last week, we're also looking at the potential of reconfiguring both parking lots, just because there's a lot of unused space. It's just not used in a smart way. And so that was actually something we've been working on since several months ago, even prior to this potential opportunity. Given that it sounds like we have a little, there's not this time constraint, that we were working, that they were trying to be open before the summer, my suggestion might be having this sent to the Planning Commission to look at this opportunity, to look at issues to the water filtration system, to look at truck flow, traffic flow, and so that is actually probably, that would give us more time to really investigate this opportunity. In general, it seemed like we have at least some support for potentially selling this, but given that we don't have kind of this time constraint, we could send it to the Planning Commission, and they could look at it and investigate a couple of these other areas that we haven't been able to investigate and come to some complete understanding on as of yet.
Well, the other thing the Planning Commission can do is to look at it in the context of the town's comprehensive plan and the strategic development plan, just to see, is this a qualified use of property in this district as laid out by our planning, to see if it does fit or if it is not the best fit. So that's really why they are there, to serve as a filter when we have new projects and new developments come up, to give that additional layer of oversight and input and public input, so that you can, before you make a decision, have the benefit of that recommendation.
And part of having the meeting last week and getting a lot of public input is just whether or not we should even pursue this, right? And it sounds like, it looks like we have some support for it. So now that it looks like we have some support for it, moving it to the Planning Commission for them to do a deeper dive into some of these areas.
I agree. So do we need to make a motion? Can I make a motion to send it to the Planning Commission?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
No.
All in favor? All opposed?
No.
Any abstentions? So moved. All right. So the Planning Commission will take it over. The Planning Commission, we have five members: Ed Phillips, Tony
Bevilacqua,
Mark Nixon, Mike Pruitt, and Pamela Colston. So it'll be sent to the Planning Commission to investigate some of the areas that we've already talked about, and then also compared to our strategic plan. And so, all right. Any other comments from council?
No.
I'm delighted you're slowing down on this process. I thought it was going way too fast.
All right, open it up to public comment.
I have a couple of questions. What are you going to do with the police department if you sell the building?
So we had already talked to Burley about renting back that space until we could then build a police department. We already have our new grants administrator looking at potential grants to actually build a new police station out on the land that's already been purchased for that. Burley was fine with us renting it back, but obviously that's not a long-term solution. And so we would seek grants to actually build the police department a building in which would be theirs. And actually they would prefer to be out there.
And my second question is there was a lot of numbers thrown around. How much do we owe the county right now?
We received a loan of $400,000 from the county. They did do a pass-through grant of $100,000. So technically that brought us down to $300,000. We are talking with Kevin Karpinski, our counsel, about if we were to, any questions related to that contract, if we were to sell the boat, how that would be impacted and those clauses. So we are looking into that as well.
And last but not least, I don't know whether or not you've thought about putting, since both of these issues are sort of hot topic issues, putting it on a referendum.
That is not something that has come up. At this point, a referendum wouldn't make it to, we wouldn't be able to do that in May. It would be a separate.
I'm not talking about May, I'm talking about putting it to referendum.
Right, so it would be a separate vote. That's not something that we've explored as of yet.
Because in looking down the road, you all are gonna also have to figure out how you're gonna pay shortfall, and I'd hate to see another lot assessment come back.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like we're going there.
Yeah. All right, I saw a couple of hands behind you. There was actually all the way in the back was the Miss Rita. You had your hand up first.
Number one, I would like to thank you for holding off on the vote for Rita. Because it seemed like to me things were going by so fast and it didn't look good on y'all. I'm going to put it like that. Because every time we start talking about something, it seemed like the conversation comes up, then it's voted on, then it's done. And that's what it seemed like with this, because that's what happened with the Black Eyed Zoo. By the time we had that phone conference and people got a chance to express themselves, they said, it's got to go through now or we'll miss it. So it just seems like things were going by fast. Okay. The next thing was the idea of the floating restaurant or floating venue. What are they going to look at? If they get on the boat, what are they going to look at? That building over there that's ragged, you know. So I don't think that's going to work too well. But the main thing was thank you for delaying and looking at the other things, you know, more. I think it should be whoever the new mayor is or whoever the new council is. When that group gets together, I think they really should look into everything. And then the decision made. Thank you.
Yeah. In terms of the floating venue, what I can say is that the Washingtons actually did have some success with a couple of their events when they didn't have the personnel or captain to go out. And so they actually did have some success at having some events that were just docked on the side. Now, you're right, there are some other issues in terms of doing any type of, floating venue. There's some issues with a liquor license, those types of things, but that would be something that I think we're already trying to see if there might be a way for a liquor license to be obtained if we were to do a floating venue. But thank you for raising your concerns. Yeah, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Number one, all property should be looked at from the highest and best use. And when you're looking at this building and putting in a brewery here, that's not the highest and best use because it doesn't serve all ages, demographics in the community. Number one. Number two, since other properties have come to light that sold for considerably more than the comparables that were used in the appraisal, could the appraisal be amended to reflect these sales and perhaps come up with a different value? I firmly believe, that from my point of view, that this has been undervalued. I'm working on a deal right now on another piece of property in town that looks like it's going to go for more money than this appraised for by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel that we need to look at, oh, and the third thing was, since Mike is on the zoning commission, the planning commission, would he have to come off if he becomes mayor?
Oh yeah, he would have to come off if he was mayor.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we could talk with McCain and see if they looked at a couple. They are professionals. They have the expertise. They have the certifications and have a long history of doing this.
But they're not the only company that has the expertise and the certification and a long history of doing this. There are others in the area.
Yes, there are others.
So we could get a second one.
So
as well.
We could get a second one. We could also ask them about looking at some of the other properties that have been brought to light. So is that something that...
I can make a call in the morning, certainly.
Okay. All right. So you're suggesting a second appraisal?
Yes, I'd like it to like a second opinion. For something this vital to the community and for something of this value, I think that would, it behooves us to do that. Because if we do get rid of this, which is certainly the center, the heart of the town to many people, we best make sure we have our best ducks in a row. And I didn't find their explanation particularly persuasive. For someone who's been in the business for 30-some years and has the size certification and has all this expertise to like, oh, we just didn't know about it, to me that seems a little lax at best. I could use a harsher word, but I won't.
All right. Yes, in the back.
The lady in the green has been waiting.
My name is Stephanie Goodman-Hawley, and I wanted to comment on the Black Eyed Susan. I feel that it should be sold. I think for the size of the town, and boats are an extremely expensive expense. I mean, you're just talking about the expense for this year, but a boat that size and that age, sitting in the water 24/7 every day, there's going to be expenses every year. So I don't see, I know that I hear your comments about how it will bring tourism to the boat, but the size of the town, I just don't see. And I saw in the meeting information that you didn't expect it to make a profit, but just to even break even, I don't see that, that ever happening in this size of a town. Maybe New Orleans or Miami, something like that, where they attract thousands, millions of visitors, something that size can, or they offer gambling, things like that can bring in a profit. But I just don't see it ever making money. I think it'll be a losing proposition always. So that's my opinion on, and that's just my opinion. I'm also on the board of the Backstreet Bikes, and we are desperately looking for a place here in town to set up shop. We're not asking the town for any money. We want to help kids in the town. We could be a community center, the one that people, local people want to see happen here. We could be that place, but we need help trying to find a building. And we're not asking to be given it to us. We're willing to pay rent, but we would just like some help from the town to maybe help find a place for us to come, where kids can come and learn a skill, have a place, a safe, drug-free place to hang out, learn how to work on their own bicycles. We want to give bikes away. I mean, it's just, and it won't cost the town anything. We're willing to pay rent, we're willing to man it, and it's just a great idea. I don't know if you saw in Ocean City today that Governor Hogan signed House Bill 882, which was the Kokomo Wildland Trail that's supposed to hook up on Dighton Road to Shad Landing. He signed that bill, so it's passed. It's passed. So, I mean, Snowville's gonna be, we're looking at from Tool Design, the bikeway, bike paths. It's we're on the cusp of biking in town. It brings tourism, it helps kids to, or the bikeways will help children get to school more safely. We're hoping to get a path to the rec center to allow children to get to the rec center safely. And we want to, Backstreet Bikes wants to be part of all that. Obviously, the governor and our senators are behind it. And we just would like to see, we would like to be part of that. Backstreet Bikes would like to be part of that. But we need your help to help us find a building that can we can open up shop.
Thank you. What I'll say is, we've been looking at the budget, and we have committed some money to implementing the bikeways study once it's formalized. So we've committed to funding some of that. There's going to be a hefty price tag, likely, given all of the routes around town, basically, that tool is going to suggest. But we have committed some funding to start that.
I agree with that. I mean, I understand that, and I know that, you know, putting in bike lanes is very expensive, and I'm sure there's transportation grants and things like that. But I also, the money that you could save by not spending $600,000 to fix the Black Eyed Susan would go towards, maybe could go towards, and that's another question I had in the budget on page 30. I was wondering what BES stands for under expenditures.
Black Eyed Susan.
Oh, that is Black Eyed Susan.
Okay. Yep.
So that's what I was, and my second question was, where were the expenses for the Black Eyed Susan? But I guess that was
it. And part of that has always been offset by rent from whoever had a contract for the Black Eyed Susan. So again, as mentioned before, the purpose of, and I wasn't in administration when the Black Eyed Susan was purchased, but when it was purchased, it was not to be revenue generating. It really was to break even, and so whoever was to rent the boat, like the Washingtons in this, that they would pay rent that would cover the loan amount and then the, like you said, the expenses, whether it was the, you know, insurance, the monthly upkeep, those types of things. And so it was never to actually generate revenue for the town, but to break even. It was the thought that it would then spur economic development for the rest of the town. All right, Ron, I saw you had a hand.
I understand breaking even, but you don't want to be working in the negative.
Well, no, obviously, no.
So one comment on the brewery. This town, in order to be commercially successful in the future, has to have destination businesses here. We have to bring more people in. If the business doesn't do that, that doesn't mean it won't be good for the town, but it won't cause the town to grow, or it'll stop the population from declining, which of course is what we basically face today. My name is Ron Deasy, by the way, and I'm a taxpayer, as some of these other people are here. And I think we've been trying to discuss the Black Eyed Susan now for a year, maybe. And one of the things we only had to discuss it with were rumors. And when I listen to this, I can't help but look at it as a banker. And I've got to tell you, I've seen the town's finances. I know what the budget size is. I know what our tax base is. I know how many taxpayers we've got. And anything that costs $600,000, $700,000 to $1,000,001 is far too material in terms of our basic financial position. Now, I agree with Mr. Pollard. It's a good idea. You get the right boat, and you have in the right river, and you'll do very, very well. I spent 9 years living in Germany and lived in Düsseldorf, where I managed a bank, but I lived in Düsseldorf on the Rhine. The Rhine is full of boats all summer. This is a seasonal business. I've looked at a lot of seasonal businesses in 34 years as a banker, and the point you make is absolutely right. You get expenses 12 months out of the year. If you're lucky, you get revenues 4 months out of the year. But the rest of the year, you have to look after that. And I think I'd rather have my investment on the ground than in the water. Now, my question is that I don't think either of those options should be taken. I think either of those options are acceptable in terms of our financial position. While I agree with the idea being good, one thing none of us have ever seen is a business plan. And I can hardly imagine the amount of volume that would be required to service the debt and to make some kind of profit. And there, I don't know if anybody here knows what the break even was in that business plan or what year it was going to finally make money. I wish they'd raise their hand and tell us, because we would very much like to know. But I find it very hard to even imagine it, let alone want to know what it is. But it is an important thing to know. The other thing, amongst the rumors that have gone around, is that a small town in St. Mary's County, just south of St. Mary's City, was offered this boat and had a referendum, and the citizens turned it down. So a referendum, it seems to me, would have been a sensible idea. But given the options I've just heard, I think you should look very, very closely at whatever purports to be a business plan and decide whether there is any reality in that business plan in terms that it will ever make money, ever break even, because the town already has more money invested in it than, I mean, roughly what we had, I guess I'll call them savings, whatever. But I mean, you know, we're really facing a lot more investment into something which I frankly cannot see how we would ever develop the traffic. I believe there could be traffic if we had everything right. I think it's a good idea, but I just don't think this is the right boat for that idea, not based on the numbers that we've now had confirmed by you, which have traveled around town a lot in the last couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thank you.
First, I was trying to read your name tag, but you had your cup in front of it the entire time. Sorry.
It's Randy.
Sorry. Yeah, I know one of you. I just didn't know what your title was. So, my apologies. I do have a list of questions. All right, the questions I have, I've done some extensive research. First question I want to ask, is anyone currently on council that was involved in the original purchase of Black Eye Susan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two out of the three. All right, just wanted that for record. The questions I have, looking into this, I'm sorry. What was the cost just for the dry dock daily? As we move forward,
$275 a day.
$275 a day. All right. That being said, were any experts brought on board in regards to a paddle boat in the river? The research I have has said part of the reason why we didn't see this issue was because we were expecting it to work like it was working in Happy Grace, when it's an entirely different water research and what have you. Allow me to read through my questions and you can all speak to them. Why was no one who was involved with the original planning invited to this meeting? That would be my other question. That includes the county commissioner as well, that's not even in our district, as well as the gentleman who left on Ocean City. Before I would even consider us moving forward with having a dry dock boat sitting here, as a dry dock essentially, or rather in the water sitting here, is the environmental impact that does to our river here that we already struggle with keeping clean with floods and everything like that. I have not seen any reports or research done in that respect, as well as there is no locked-in use. You're talking about this fire hall being sold, and you have a plan on who's going to buy it. Where was that, as far as Washington, was anyone else looked at when the boat was originally bought, besides Washington? Were there second opinions? Were there other people that were involved saying, hey, if you move forward with this, I'm on board? And as far as breaking even, as an engineering and mathematician, there's no possible way we're gonna break even at this point. At this point, it's a loss, and I would like the leadership to accept responsibility for a mistake. And let's move forward. You know, I'd rather see that happen and Snowhill own up to a possible economic mistake than to move forward and continue digging ourselves in this hole and giving the next administration a mess that they have to clean up. And with that being said, that's all I have.
Yeah. So I'll say I was not part of part of the previous administration that purchased this, in terms of inviting the previous administration and even the commissioner. I'm not sure at this point the issue resides with this council, whether we were part of the initial purchase of the boat or not. It resides with this council to make the decision. And so, I'm not going to point fingers to folks who, you know, who made the decisions back then. We have the answers. We have the answers that we have at this point, and we're going to try to make a decision to move forward. There was an RFP that was sent out in terms of who would operate the boat. Only one business responded to that, and that was the Washingtons. So there was an RFP that was submitted. I think, as I already mentioned, initially we wanted to break even. As I've already mentioned, option A, option B, both of them we're going to lose. I said that earlier. We're going to lose money either option. And so it's deciding on what is the best loss. And so I don't know if any other council members, in terms of environmental impact, I don't know if that was looked at. I'm not sure.
I don't think that was looked at.
Yeah. One of the things that the dry dock, comes up with, it addresses, like, if there are any gasoline or oil leaks. There is one, so that was one of the things that we need to fix if we decide to do the option A of fixing the boat, or fixing it partially, is fixing the oil leak. And so obviously there is an environmental impact there. But more comprehensive, no, there wasn't anything done. I think that answered all of your questions.
I'm going to say it was $300 a day.
If you're interested, you can go to either the county commissioner's website or to one of the town websites like Snow Hill Live. There is a link to the original presentation that was done for the boat. There is also an information package that you can download and view, which includes the marine survey and the underwater survey that were attached to the original package when that was taken before the county commissioners, which would give you more background.
Great questions. Jan?
As I sit here listening to everybody's comments, it seems to me we're talking on rumors and maybe this and if that and we should have and all that. I think what we need to do is we need to realize Snow Hill is not going to write a check for $600,000. If we can get money from this grant and that grant and the governor and the state and the commissioners, then maybe we can have this boat, but we're not going to do it with our tax money. So I would like to wait and see what we can get, what happens, before we say, oh, let's flush it down the toilet, let's just go with this, take the big loss, instead of just saying, maybe we're worrying about our tax dollars going down with the boat. So I just think we need to realize that there's so many rumors floating around about how we're going to pay for this and we're going to pay for that. And let's just sit back and let Rick do his work and see what we can get and see what's best for the town, but not fall for all the rumors and innuendos and, send death threats.
Okay, Jan, but as was pointed out, even if that money is available, it's going to be months in the future, at the least. That's the best case scenario.
I understand that.
So that's it's no longer rumor. We've covered that, but these are facts. This is where we stand today.
I understand that. So if we have the $200,000 from the one fund and the $100,000 that was put aside for the Black Man Susan, why don't we fix it? Get it here.
We would still own the $400,000. We would still owe that.
We're going to owe that no matter what.
Right, and that's
why,
over
but
a
that
long-term loan. Yeah. That's not
but
something
still,
we're paying back.
And that's money that could be used for other things in town that we desperately need.
Or invested in the value of the vessel, which then when you sell it has a higher value.
Not necessarily, but those are things that Randy's going to be checking on. The It may have a higher value, but it was built in 1988. It's not going to get any younger or any prettier.
So, Jan, thank you for that. I mean, I think what's been clear when we've been talking about the Black Eyed Susan over the last several weeks is we are not writing a check for $600,000. So please make sure everyone knows that, that we have already said that clearly. We are not writing a check for $600,000. And so that's why we are at option A and B, partially fixing the boat, where it would be a floating venue, or selling it outright. That's where we are right now.
I do have one last follow-up question on that is, how does this not, how can you secure this problem not becoming a taxpayer problem? Once we get all the grants and everything, we're not promised the same grants every year, money dries up. What if we get another 2008 collapse of our economic system? I mean, we're playing what-ifs games and rumor games here. But I think this, at a minimum, if this does move forward, it needs to be put on hold and go to planning and researching and figure out who can we get in there. Because if I were the Washingtons, I know they have a comment on that, I would remove myself from this sinkhole.
Yeah.
One thing that we all have to remember, if this boat is in Kelowna Shipyard in Norfolk, Virginia, it's been there since February 3rd. They will not keep it any longer without some plan of disposition. According to the Coast Guard, we can't put that boat back in the water without making these minimal repairs that they've identified as a price tag of just over $300,000. So we either sell it where it sits, or we spend $312,000 to get it in the water, whether we take it here or Cambridge Yacht Yard or Baltimore or wherever. We can't just let it stay in the shipyard in Norfolk while we figure out something else to do.
Exactly.
Either have to come up with the 300, get it back in the water and move it somewhere, or throw it for sale sign on.
I just want to make sure that's clear for everyone.
Ed, you had a question? You had your hand up?
Well, just a comment. It sounds like we really don't have all the information we need to make a sound, rational decision. And I agree with my good friend Ron Giese. It all comes down to a sound business plan and having all the facts. But notwithstanding, the boat where it sits, as Rick just said, is accumulating rental fees of $300 a day, $2,100 a week. And I think time is of the essence to come to a decision. And perhaps being a municipality, maybe we can negotiate a lower dry dockage fee. Perhaps, I don't know, but I think it'd be worth talking to the boat yard, and then not wait till May the 10th or whenever we want to make. I mean, I think we need to make a decision as soon as we get the information. What can we get for the boat? Because until we know that, we really don't know how to evaluate selling, fixing it partially, or spending another $600,000 so that you can get a good return on our investment. I don't know. I can't begin to guess, because I don't have any information. And if I don't have it, I know you don't.
You have the information we have.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to offer this too, if I could. We tried very, very hard to have a representative of Colonia Shipyard here tonight to talk to you and tell you so that you could hear the same information we've been hearing for the last few months. And I don't think I'm going to divulge any confidence, because I didn't promise any confidence in this regard. But Randy has been down there since the boat has been in Norfolk, talking with these people every week about what needs to be done, waiting patiently while the Coast Guard took their sweet time in making their inspections. And all that time, in the conversations with the shipyard managers, we were given to understand this was going to be expensive. It might be as much as $200,000. It might even be as high as $300,000. We had that forewarning from the shipyard managers before the first pass was made, and we were making contingency plans to address that. When they came in 2 weeks ago with this quote of $602,000, you could have knocked us all over with a feather, because it was so far beyond what they themselves had led us to believe was going to be the result. I can see being off a little bit one way or the other, but double what they had been telling, and these people will make a living doing this, to give us a quote double what they said was their unofficial estimation of what this was going to cost. As the mayor said, right off the bat, we weren't going to consider that kind of money. So then we started looking for these other sources of possible help because we didn't want to give up the vote. It might be that we're going to have to, but we wanted to make sure that if we did, we unturned every stone that we could find, tried every idea, and as I said before, as a business plan, as a bottom line, it doesn't make any sense at all. But as representing an idea, representing a spirit and enthusiasm, then it's a value judgment. You know, how much of that are you willing to commit? Bottom line is that it's not a good business deal at all. We understand that. But when they gave us a quote twice what we had been led to believe was going to be the worst case, it threw it into a whole new ballgame. And frankly, we didn't have a plan for that. That's why we're scrambling so hard now to find something responsible to address this for everyone's best interest.
All right.
And Mayor, if I could, as far as getting in to lower the docking fees or whatever, I've been in them several times. The last place I got right here, this is the lowest of them again. They said they will not go any lower. They can't go any lower. They've done the best they're going to do. And I have all the information and documentation from them and the Coast Guard, and I make sure I email it, and everyone has had a copy of that. And I even have the information here of when the survey was done before the boat was bought. And the prices aren't, for a lot of this stuff, that far off.
All right, any other questions, comments?
Would you repeat that, because I didn't quite hear it. You said the prices quoted in the original survey are not that far off?
Survey prices that I've got here.
Of the original.
Okay. On some of them, not all of this that was in this quote that they gave us over there, because they didn't know all of this, okay? Some of them aren't that far off. Because they left a big wide opening there when it was done and said plus. So in other words, if I say $75,000 to do a job, plus, that means $75,000 plus. Okay, so they might not be that far off. I don't know. I don't work at one of those places there. All I know is I got all the information here. I've been going to that place just about every week. If not, I have been twice a week. Ever since the boat was pulled out, the very first week it was pulled out. And all I know is every single day it's $300 a day, $2,100 a week, and you figure that up, and you have 3 months out of the year, has 5 weeks into it. And I guess if it sits there long enough, you'll see that too.
So to clarify, what you were asking clarification on is the original survey, which is not dry docking, did not have a $600,000 price tag. I think that's
not what I was asking.
Okay.
What he was saying, and which I got from reading the original survey myself, was some of the estimated costs were comparable to what we got this time around from Kalana. So they were there in the original survey.
Yes.
But not just for the dry docking, for some of the repairs themselves.
Yes.
They are there in that original marine survey.
All right, Janet.
Quickly, is there a possibility we can put a deadline on when we make a decision on this so that we're not spending money, this amount of money every day? I mean, 30 days, 10 days, 20 days? Is that a possibility?
We wanted to make a decision today, but we didn't have the information about selling the boat. We're trying to make the decision as fast as we can. That's why we even called the work session, and we're not going to go to closed session, but we are hope that's why closed session is on here, because we were hoping to go to closed session and figure out if there were any other pieces that we needed to develop, but we don't have all of the information. So we are trying to make it a decision, particularly on the Black Eyed Susan, as soon as possible.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to move on that.
And the shipyard repair does not have a person there to do a survey. Appraisal on the boat.
Okay.
They've already sent it back to me, but there is someone in the area. Do you want me to get it done? Because I'm sure you're going to charge.
I'd rather pick our own.
Yeah. Yes. And then we're not only do we want to pick our own, but we also need someone that's going to do that like yesterday.
I told you, yeah. I mean, so, the shipyard wants to know something as soon as possible about the boat we're going to do. One way or the other, they want to know something. Because they said it's going to be on the yard for another month when they start working to get them up there.
Right. All right, so we'll research appraisal companies that can do that type in that area.
You just have to let me know because I have to get them badged in and all that.
Right.
And I'll take them right there as soon as possible.
Okay. All right, any other comments? All right. You got something, Mike?
No.
Okay.
Margaret.
All right. All right.
You got something,
oh.
Mike?
Mike,
second.
You all in favor?
Aye.
So moved.
Regina. Second by Melissa.